Welcome back to Ram Nation Radio on Mile High Sports, AM 1550, KDCO, FM 94.1 in Denver, and 96.9 in Boulder. I'm Joel Cantalamessa. This segment is brought to you by CB and Potts, which has been home of the CSU Rams since 1974. They've got five Front Range locations, one across from the Flatirons Mall in Broomfield, just west of I-25 on 120th in Westminster, Greenwood Plaza Boulevard off Arapaho Road and Englewood, C-470 and Broadway in Highlands Ranch, and of course the original 1415 West Elizabeth in Fort Collins. For great drinks, food, and the CSU Rams on TV, when the Rams are on the road, go to CB and Potts Restaurants. We'll switch gears now from the hoops discussion. National Letter of Intent Day is the first Wednesday of February each year, which means signing day is just 5 days away. It's crunch time for colleges filling out the recruiting classes. CSU's got an estimated 15 scholarships to fill this recruiting season, which is a small class. But Ryan Krause, publisher of GoldenGreenNews.com, part of the Rivals.com network, joins us to talk about CSU's pending bounty of players. Ryan, thanks for being with us. How are you, man?
Yeah, no problem. Thank you. I'm doing well. How are you, Joel?
I'm good. I imagine at this time of year, it's like a tax accountant in March or April, where you're just a little bit busy.
Yeah, it's kind of our Super Bowl, and we're pretty excited.
Before we jump into everything, how did you get started with your role at Rivals and Golden Green News?
That's a great question. I went to CSU. I was kind of a super fan. Just perusing websites and trying to get as much information as I could. And I came across a message board posting from Tom Laycock, who used to own the site. And I just said he needed some help, and I had no writing experience or anything. At that time, I had been graduated from CSU, but I had a passion for it, and just sent him an email, and it was a huge blessing. Just essentially, Tom liked what he saw, and fast forward about 4 years later, and I am the owner and publisher of the site, and I've got three other writers that work for me, and we cover everything from CSU basketball, football, and recruiting, and we've got a great staff on hand.
Well, that's amazing to me if you didn't have much experience in writing, because from what I've seen, you've got very good investigative journalism skills and you're a good writer. So if you graduated in CSU, four years ago now, you were a big super fan, as you termed it. So this is obviously a labor of love for you then.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a process of obviously learning the ins and outs, how to write. I was always an okay writer, I thought, but again, like you mentioned, no experience. I credit God for that, and it's just really kind of pieces falling into place, and just learning the ins and outs, and I try to obviously be as unbiased as possible and just kind of be a true reporter as much as possible.
You told me off air that you spend your day job, you work for a bank in Loveland. Do you find it hard to juggle the two jobs sometimes? I would imagine sometimes you're getting texts from players and coaches as you're trying to get a scoop or a story, and it's probably happening during work hours. I've been there many times over the years, and I know it can be tough to keep it straight sometimes.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. It does get tough. Like you mentioned, I do get texts, and I'm, conducting interviews on breaks, lunch breaks, things like that, just trying to, it's nice having the message boards, because, I can just post updates there, as opposed to, obviously I can't write articles when I'm at the bank, but it's tough juggling everything, but, it's like conducting two full-time jobs, but I try to do what I can, obviously. I love what I do covering CSU for Rivals, and so that makes it pretty easy.
Tell me what the process is like for you digging up information. Is it just making a lot of phone calls and having contacts with high school coaches and college coaches, and then digging up the actual players themselves?
Yeah, a lot goes into it. This day and age, obviously, there's a lot of information out there, especially on the internet, for sure. You look at Twitter itself, and news is broken so fast just on social media. So as a reporter, sometimes it's tough to actually break news, but whether we do or not, it's about actually being a journalist and getting the quotes and interviews after the news is broken, and getting in-depth actual stories so people can find out behind the scenes what kind of goes on and that sort of thing. But there's a lot that goes into it, from trying to dig up phone numbers, emails. You know, it's like anything. The longer you're in it, the more contacts you're going to have. You're going to have people reaching out to you as opposed to, you know, me trying to reach out all the time to other people. But it's nice building connections with, you know, local coaches and players, as well as, you know, other recruiting analysts within the network, but also within, you know, the CSU program itself.
Ryan Krause, publisher of GoldenGreenNews.com, is our guest tonight. Ryan, it's funny you say that about how the news is being broken on social media so much now these days. I had a great discussion last week with former CSU SID and longtime CSU employee Gary Ozello on air. And one of the things we were both lamenting was how in this day and age of message boards and Twitter, there's this rush to be first in breaking a story, and often at the expense of accuracy. You do want to be the first. It's this pride thing, you know, but do you ever get frustrated that the fans on message boards and social media and even in the mainstream press, they can throw out things that they've heard citing unnamed sources that, you know, are so often untrue when guys like you are doing the due diligence to make the calls to the players, coaches, and get the real scoop and the real story on the recruiting and getting that in-depth information?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, you kind of touched on it more than ever nowadays with so much information available. You know, you wonder sometimes, like as a fan, if how reliable things are. So I think as a reporter, obviously you want to get things right. If you don't get stuff right, then your credibility, you know, just nosedives from there. So kind of like I said, I just try to take the approach of being patient and, you know, I'd love to break the news. Yeah, it's kind of a pride thing. An ego thing kind of creeps in, and I try to avoid that as much as possible. You know, if someone else breaks the news, that's great. But, you know, I'm not going to try to break a story at the expense of, you know, getting information wrong. So it's like a lot of things. There's just a balance of, you know, accuracy, timing, and that sort of thing. But kind of like you mentioned, it can be frustrating. If, you know, there have been a couple times where I've had some news or something I want to put out there that either, you know, if a source says, you know, wait for it, or, you know, I'm working my other job, or, you know, something like that, and I can't actually write the story. So that can be difficult. But it's just one of those things where you just have to juggle some stuff and just do the best you can. And if, as long as you're doing your job right, you know, good things will come.
Recruiting information in that whole industry is now a big business. I know that some of the tradition-laden schools from Power 5 conferences, they have sites that can be quite lucrative for their publishers and owners. What are some of those monster sites out there on the Rivals Network that do really well? I think that there's a Nebraska site that I think kills it, but what are some of the ones that, in your knowledge that really do well?
Yeah, Nebraska for sure. I mean, you just think of some of the bigger name schools. Most of those sites are killing it. The biggest one on the Rivals Network, I think by far, is the OrangeBloods.com, which is the Texas site. You know, even the Pac-12, you've got the USC, and even the Colorado site's doing pretty well. But, I mean, you think of pretty much the biggest name teams out there, and they're going to be doing pretty well. You got, you know, anywhere from 3 to 6 guys on any given staff that are doing that full time. So obviously that'd be pretty nice.
I'll say. So the star system, let's talk about that just for a second. Can you help clarify how the star rating system works? There's a perception, and I'm inclined to share it from what I've seen, but if a player, for instance, is recruited to CSU, and commits to CSU, he might be, say, maybe he was ranked a 2-star. But if that same player were to sign with Alabama, you often see him bumped up to like a 4-star. Is that accurate, or does it just seem like that? Is there a bias towards big schools in this whole rating system?
You know, that's a great point. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say just because I work for Yahoo and Rivals that they have it perfect, because they don't. You know, you go to any of these major recruiting websites, and they definitely miss out on a lot of kids. And I think you're exactly right. I mean, I think it was Jared Koster a couple of years ago was committed to CSU, and at last second, you know, ended up signing with UCLA, and I think he went from either 2-star or 3-star, or jumped up all the way to a 4-star. But yeah, it definitely happens. You know, I can sit here and say Frank Umu, who's a CSU commit, he was a 2-star. He's now a 3-star at CU. Can I say that wouldn't have happened had he not switched his commitment? You know, I don't know, but I agree with you. It happens a lot. I'm not going to sit here and say it doesn't. But as far as how they actually rate the kids, that boils down to, at least for Rivals, that boils down to all of our national and regional analysts that actually take the time to, you know, sit down and watch tons of film. They rate and re-rate kids multiple times a year. But it's just that there are so many different prospects, especially for football, and there's so much film out there that it just gets impossible to truly rate kids well. So it does come to a point where, you know, they'll reach out to specific site publishers and staff, such as myself, and they'll say, hey, should we change a rating on a kid? Tell us why. But, you know, it's got to be legitimate reasoning, such as, hey, I saw this kid in person. You can't just sit here and say, okay, I checked out a huddle video or whatever, and this kid looks good. You guys have it wrong. So it can be tough for sure. I think I've changed to maybe a couple kids that have been committed to CSU in the past, jumped up a couple stars. But in general, it's an inexact science. It always will be. But I definitely share in your frustration that, you know, a lot of kids I don't think are fairly rated. And, you know, that can be due to the fact that, you know, they're committed to, you know, a Mountain West school as, you know, opposed to like a P5 school.
Ryan Krause, the recruiting guru from GoldenGreenNews.com, is with us tonight. Ryan, what's your impression so far of Mike Bobo and his staff?
You know what? I have not personally met Mike Bobo yet. I've just been busy with my job, honestly. But from everything I've heard from multiple sources, as well as other reporters that work down in Georgia, is that he's an awesome guy, first and foremost. And also he's a very, very sound football coach all around, whether it's you know, his organizational skills, how he runs his meetings, his teams. He's a stud recruiter. I mean, the guy, you know, guys like five-star Kerry Godwin down at Georgia, you know, Van Jefferson, four-star, who was committed there, kids that were contemplating visits to CSU simply because of him, and even Jacob Easton, the top-rated overall player for next year's recruiting class, committed to Georgia, and he lives in the state of Washington because of Mike Bobo. So I've just heard of so many positive things, and, you know, honestly, I can't wait to, you know, actually meet him and see what type of work he can do. But I think coming from the SEC like that, you're going to see a lot of similarities to Coach Mack. But, you know, even like the off-season workout so far, I've kind of heard that they're even more intense than what Coach Mack ran.
You mentioned they're known for their recruiting prowess. They've had, obviously, good past success. You listed a couple there. Will it translate here at CSU?
Yeah, I think it will. It's interesting. I think, you know, Mack, he had his 4 years down to Alabama, which is huge. But you look at him, Mike Bobo, he played at Georgia. He was a quarterback's coach there for, 7 years? Offensive coordinator, another 7 years. The guy lives and breathes SEC football. So I think ultimately that he will be able to get a couple of those blue chippers that Coach Mack wasn't able to get. You know, I don't include D. Hart simply because he's a transfer, but getting these four-star kids out of high school, I think CSU will have a legitimate shot based off of Mike Bobo knows his stuff. He's hired a great staff. Will Friend's a stud. And just based on their connections, too, I think they're going to be able to. That being said, you know, I don't expect CSU to jump into the top 25 annually here just because he's the coach now.
I got about a minute left before we go to break. How has the staff fared in keeping this class together? They've really only been in place. Well, Mike Bobo's only been here for, 5 to 6 weeks now, so a very short window. He's got to scramble to keep the class together and then fill the remaining pieces. How have they fared in keeping the class together? Have they lost anybody?
Right. Well, they've done a fantastic job. I believe, I'm just trying to think off the top of my head, I think they've kept all the previous commits. That being said, it was such a small class that, I mean, taking nothing away from the staff, they did a wonderful job, but because it is such a small class with a limited number of scholarships that, I mean, that obviously helped them out. But you look at, you know, all the kids that I've talked to, that Kyle McCall and some of these other guys I know that have talked to them, you know, the kids, first of all, love CSU. They love the old staff. But even, you know, the prep coaches I've talked to said that it was a smooth transition, that they were worried before, but now, you know, once they have the in-home visits with Coach Bobo, Coach Friend, Coach Letson, that, you know, they're just as comfortable, if not more so, with the new staff.
Well, we got to take a quick commercial break. Stay with us as Ryan Krause of GoldenGreenNews.com gives us the rundown on this year's class, the top prospects that CSU has picked up, verbally anyway, and any surprises that might be lurking over the next several days leading up to signing day. Thanks for being with us tonight. You're listening to Ram Nation Radio on Mile High Sports.